Are you looking for a Columbus car dealership built on tradition and trust? Buyers Auto, family-owned since 1897, offers top new and pre-owned vehicles. Visit us or shop online at buyersauto.com. Buyers Auto, driving the next generation of buyers.
Football on Off the Ball.
Gold Detective, I can see it now.
Yeah.
I don't know who would you have Poirot in there. I mean, unfortunately, you know, someone told me on X the other day, you know, they think they're Poirot, but they're actually Clouseau.
Join in the obsession. Subscribe now at offtheball.com/join.
Off the Ball Daily.
Cameron Hill is here for tonight's news round. Hello, Cameron.
Good evening, Owen.
Dion Fanning in early before the football show. Hello, Dion.
Hey, Owen. How's it going?
We do have, I mean, Evan Ferguson starting for Roma tonight, which is kind of the top news. It could be, in my mind, potentially the last time we see Evan Ferguson play for Roma. So we just have to play this one last time. It's been emotional. It's been not so long, not so fruitful, but it could be the end right now. Although, just before we came on air, Cameron, you dropped some new Gasparini
bombshell,
which I hadn't seen before, so maybe it won't be the last time.
You're getting it all emotional.
So Gasparini confirmed yesterday that he'd be available, and he is starting up front for Roma this evening. He's recovered and he'll be available tomorrow, said Gasparini in his pre-match press conference. He's a Roma player now. Every opportunity is a good one for him to perform well, and he's done so recently. I expect him to perform well tomorrow in line with his recent performances. So Gasparini's been, visited by three Ferguson ghosts and has completely changed his tack on this young upstart who thought, oh, hate this guy. Great news.
It is, obviously, there. Two new signings are ineligible to play for Roma tonight, so that is why we're connecting the dots here, and we'll see what happens. But we were asking Owen Doyle this last night, and he was very much giving the footballer's response, which is, you know, you can't get inside Evan Ferguson's head. So as a journalist, if you were to give him advice on what to do at this juncture of his career, what is the best outcome?
I suppose the best outcome is still what the best outcome was at the start of the season when you went to Roma and you wanted to work out. I would be concerned. Now, you know, obviously there's the Gasparini factor and those elements, like that element of trying to kind of settle in and, you know, dealing with somebody who is as capricious and unpredictable as Gasparini is. But that window of opportunity kind of keeps closing. Like this is, and we might talk about this in terms of the Champions League later, in terms of where European football is. But where Evan Ferguson is, this is somewhere where he should really be trying to establish himself. And, you know, it isn't that outrageous an idea that you can take you a number of months to settle into someplace. Like it is in the scheme of things. If he can, and if the opportunity is there, I think he'd be better off. And he can, now that, okay, the players have come in, but if he can get game time, he's better off there than going somewhere else again and trying to, because there's been too much of that. And there's no guarantees that wherever he goes next is going to work out any better.
Well, if it is the end this evening, the Italian sojourn has been most enjoyable. But as you say, this manager and this club are very, very hard to gauge. He could start every single game between now and the end of the season for Roma, or as the new guys could come in and he might have to be a bench warmer for as long as he's still in the Italian capital. You are going to start with football tonight, Cameron, in terms of tonight's Europa League fixtures.
Yeah, there are a couple of games already ongoing in the Europa League league phase, the penultimate round of the league phase tonight. So Celtic 2, Bologna 1 is the latest score from Italy. Rio Hatate had put the hoops in front in Italy, but two yellow cards in 4 minutes saw him sent off with just a half hour gone in that game. Now, Austin Trusty doubled their lead just before the break, in fact. But Bologna have pulled one back through Dis Dalinga, not that Dalinga, to make it 2-1 in Italy. Jadon Sancho's goal has Aston Villa 1-0 up at Fenerbahce. At 8 o'clock, Nottingham Forest are in Portugal to face Braga. You have that Roma game against Stuttgart tonight. Evan Ferguson, of course, starting up top. And Rangers are at home to Bulgarian outfit Ludogorets. All of those games underway at 8 o'clock.
Right then, we have some bad news from an Ireland standpoint. Again, not that it's going to matter too much when it comes to March, just kind of more the Gavin Bazunu story that we've been following over the last couple of years, which hasn't been a good one.
A 6-week spell on the sidelines for Bazunu after he picked up a thigh injury in training with Stoke City. The 23-year-old joined the Potters earlier this month on loan from Southampton until the end of the season. Manager Mark Robbins confirmed Bazunu's injury after last night's 2-1 defeat at home to Middlesbrough in the Championship.
Such an unfortunate one. One of the most unlucky footballers in Ireland over the last couple of years. Kind of felt like maybe being at Southampton in hindsight under that Russell Martin regime was not the best place for Bazunu, even though there were high points for him in terms of what he could show on the ball, and I guess being exposed to a billion shots per game at the bottom of the Premier League. But God, the injury woes, you just feel so sorry for him.
I know, and it is a terrible thing, you know, with injuries when they just start just relegating you and putting you out of the picture. And even from the point of view of, you know, and obviously it's great for Ireland how Caoimhín Kelleher has come on, but it's just when you start thinking about it from Bazunu's point of view, what injuries does, and that sense of just being sort of, you know, your career is kind of just is sort of kind of secondary now, because everybody you get forgotten and. And he's such an incredibly talented goalkeeper. And like, I agree, like, you know, when you think about when he came into the Ireland team and the ability he showed then, and he's, you know, he's young for a goalkeeper. So, yeah, like the Southampton thing, definitely, like that was a tough experience for him to have. You know, Russell Martin, it's, you know, people say working, you know, working for Alex Ferguson must have been tough for a young player. There's probably something tougher about working for Russell Martin. You hope he kind of can get back and kind of show that talent again.
We have a confirmed departure from Manchester United now, Cameron.
Yes, via a heartfelt Instagram post on Manchester United's Instagram tonight. They've confirmed that Casemiro will leave the club at the end of the season when his contract expires. The Brazilian midfielder has played 146 games since joining from Real Madrid in 2022. He's one of the highest earners at Old Trafford currently, an EFL Cup and an FA Cup to show for his efforts over 4 years at United.
Leave the Manchester United before the Manchester United leaves you, maybe, is what Casemiro has elected to do. I mean, there's been a bit of a resurgence in his form in the last, what is it, maybe 12 months, ever since Carragher put the final nail in his coffin, apparently. He hasn't been that bad this season.
Hasn't been that bad. What a legacy. What a legacy for one of the highest paid players in English football. You know, I don't think you can say any more than that.
No.
I think, you know, he hasn't been that bad. Thank you for everything. Your job now is to support our next manager.
we'll chat about this a little bit later on, about the sort of the great moments, even through watching on television, that Old Trafford seemed to have last Saturday. There was definitely a great moment that they had a couple of years ago when they beat Liverpool at Old Trafford at the start of the season. And I remember that it was the same night that they unveiled Casemiro before kickoff, and it just seemed like unbridled optimism in Old Trafford that night, where you've got this Real Madrid midfield maestro coming over, a coup for United, and then they go out and smash their most heated rivals, who had gone pretty close to the title the previous season, if I'm not mistaken, and it looked like the ground was shaking at that point. So lots of hope. And lots of hope that wasn't delivered upon, but far from just his fault over the past.
No, but I think, again, like, this is something that people should always remember, like the excitement around signings. Like, nobody, like, it's a great lesson in life, really, that, you know, the amount of excitement people get from signings that never amount to anything. I don't know what the lesson is for life, because, you know, we can't just go out to the transfer market and change it. But, you know, acquisitions in general,
it's a lesson for further transfers.
They never really give you what you think you're going to get from them. You know, you buy a new jacket, but it's still you wearing the jacket.
You have more transfer news for us closer to home this time.
Yeah, Sadou Diallo has said it was an easy decision to sign for Bohemians. The midfielder is making the move to Dalyman Park after 3 years with Derry City. Bo's boss Alan Reynolds said they've signed one of the top midfielders in the country ahead of the start of the new Premier Division season.
Now then, we have some rugby team news.
Munster have named their team for tomorrow's URC game at home to the Dragons. 8 changes from the side that lost to Cast in the Champions Cup last weekend. Most of the province's Ireland contingent unavailable this week. But Jeremy Lockman does start at loose head while there's a senior debut for Shauna Dogbo in the back row. Head coach Clayton McMillan also revealed today that Edwin Adogbo suffered concussion in that defeat last Saturday. He did play on, but it shouldn't affect his availability for Ireland. And McMillan says the young second row has to seize any opportunity he gets in the upcoming Six Nations.
I'm 100% confident in his ability. You never quite know at that level of the game until you get chucked in the arena how you're going to respond. But you'd have to say that the way he's fought back through some pretty serious adversity around his body over the last couple of years shows the strength of character, resilience, and you'd have to say that that would serve him pretty well.
We've got a couple of texts in. Owen says, Serie A is only a shadow of itself compared to the period Robbie Keane spent there. Most of the top teams can only afford over-the-hill players, stadiums are in poor condition, and the national team is really weak. While Sean says Evan Ferguson should try a championship side in or close to the playoffs, gain some confidence and try again. That feels like the sort of eventuality that's been floated for quite some time, and he's obviously not overly keen on that. Tried it out with West Ham last year, tried it out with Roma now, but I'm sure that'll become more of a realistic prospect if Roma say that the time is up.
Yeah, but it's not, again, you know, it's like there's no guarantees with it. Like, you know, Roma, the championship is a pretty tough place to be going. It's not guaranteed that you would be, that you would actually settle in there. You could make the same argument, and there'd be certain other advantages. You make the same argument going to somewhere like Celtic, where he's going to, you know, he'd definitely score goals. He'd be adored, but he'd be going down levels again. So I don't know. There aren't, like, if it's not going to work out with Roma, there aren't any real alluring options, I don't think.
No. Celtic, by the way, they are still 2-1 up this evening in Bologna. Aston Villa are 1-0 up away at Fenerbahce. They are the latest scores involving the British teams playing in Europe at the moment. A few more kicking off a little bit later. We have more rugby, Cameron.
Well, Connacht head coach Stuart Lancaster believes Saturday's sold-out Interpro Derby against Leinster will be a massive occasion. That's because that game will mark the opening of the new Clan stand at Dexcom Stadium, which will bring the capacity of the Galway venue up to 12,500. Tomorrow also marks the 23rd anniversary of the march to Lansdowne Road, when Connacht supporters arrived outside the IRFU HQ to protest plans to disband the province. Lancaster feels the team can learn lessons from last year's clash with Munster at McHale Park in Castlebar in terms of channeling the emotion into a robust performance against Leo Cullen's side.
Obviously, this has been in the calendar since the very start of the season. It's something we've referenced and talked about. So I don't think you should shy away from, you know, a game of this size, you know, what it means to the province. I had different experiences with England, I guess, opening game of a Rugby World Cup. You know, you have to sort of be in it to embrace it. So yeah, no, there was no thought about, you know, it's a normal week for us. I spoke to a lot of the lads about the game in Mayo last year, and they felt that last year they probably didn't reference that enough in the lead up to the game, and probably the size of the occasion surprised them when they actually got there. Do you know what I mean? And they were 20 minutes into the game before they really realised, you know, the significance of it when they saw what Castlebar was like. So it's something we've talked about, but equally, we've trained on this pitch all season. It's not like it's new for us. You know, the changing rooms, we knew. It was good that we got the opportunity to go in the changing rooms for the first time in the Montauban game. We got up to the third floor for the first time last week, so we got a view of what it's going to look like for a supporter. But I don't think anyone knows really what it's going to feel like until it's full, but I think it'd be pretty special.
It seems like there's a lot of buzz around how the Dexcom is looking, Cameron. People are excited over there.
Yeah, Dara Smith-Nocton from the breakfast team was down there getting a tour of the ground and said it, by all accounts, incredibly impressive venue now. The High Performance Centre just at the back of the Clan stand as well. State-of-the-art indoor pitch. It looks like it's a massive upgrade from something that Connacht really had to get right, because the Clan Terrace was there before the Clan Stand and had a great sort of kind of just a great homely feel to it, and there was always an atmosphere. It was always great being packed in there. So being able to match that while also bringing an upgrade to the stand and the offering that Connacht can make in terms of they've now a tunnel club where they will have two-way mirrors similar to how Manchester City and Saracens operate, where fans can pay a premium to watch the players actually go out. The players won't see them, but they'll see the players. And just bits like that to sort of engage the corporate hospitality and bring some big money into the province and into those games. It seems like it's a smart financial move, and we will probably see it in full flow. I think there's plenty of demand. It's sold out on Saturday and it'll be a great occasion.
Is that Ireland's first tunnel club? I don't think even the Aviva has
no
tunnel club. Ooh, is there a big market for a tunnel club in Connacht? I could see it being there being demand in Leinster.
What do you get for a tunnel club? You just see them walking out. You're in the tunnel. You're down there.
You have the CSI mirrors,
right? Yeah, yeah. That's the real selling point, isn't it? They can't see you.
Yeah,
that's what you're.
You get to see them in the kind of.
You can do anything you want behind
them. Hype themselves up. Yeah.
All right, Ash.
Whoa. Okay. But I think, yeah, it's probably to see opposition players that you wouldn't normally see. Like when the big teams for England and France come in European competition, that's when you really get up close and personal with them. It feels a little bit zoo-like for players, but yeah, it's an interesting innovation. They certainly seem to buy into it.
It certainly is, and interesting as well that you point out the anniversary of the Marshall Lansdowne was brought up on the radio yesterday when we were talking to Ross Harris, and he was saying that there should be something similar happening in Wales right now with regards to the Ospreys and their reported doom as well. That like when you look at the Connacht province arriving in this beautiful new stadium where they've come from 23 years on is a real success story. Now then, we're going to be talking to Luke Jensen in around 10 minutes time. Bring us up to speed on what's been happening at the Australian Open.
Well, the main character of the Australian Open this year so far has been 16th seed in the women's draw, Naomi Osaka, who's apologised for disrespecting Romania's Sorana Cîrstea in her comments following their second round match in Melbourne today. So she won over three sets earlier, but her opponent was critical of Osaka's conduct during the match. So between points, Osaka was yelling, "Come on!" And it really irked Cîrstea, who was playing her final Australian Open match. So maybe the emotions were running high. Now, in her on-court interview afterwards, an emotional Osaka was baffled by what Cîrstea objected to.
Sorana Cîrstea is a tough competitor. She came to play tonight. What did it take to get through that one?
Apparently a lot of come on, so she was angry about it, but whatever. She's a great player. I think this was her last Australian Open, so... Okay, sorry she was mad about it, but...
Well, she was complaining because between the first and second serve, she could hear you just trying to pump yourself up. Was that the problem?
I think so, but, like... She could have asked me, like...
This isn't sport.
It's like a Jerry Springer crowd.
This is pathetic.
It was more from her later in the evening, though.
Yeah, struck more of a conciliatory tone in her post-match press conference.
I get that emotions were very high for her, and I also want to apologize. I think, like, the first couple things that I said on the court was disrespectful, and I don't like disrespecting people. That's not what I do. If she wants to talk about it, then yeah, but like when I'm pumping myself up in my head, I'm not like, okay, and now I'm gonna distract the other person. Like, it's purely for me. So
she wasn't doing this during points. It was like right after.
No, she was saying, come on. This is all about someone saying, come on.
Yeah, but between points.
Between points. So they still have a game of serve.
But just come on.
Just come on.
Between points.
It was quite loud, Dion. That's the problem.
It was too loud.
Yeah.
It's noise pollution. She should apologise for the noise pollution as well as everything else.
That's
and the disrespect and noise. Add noise pollution to your list.
The sort of the robotic overtones to the interviewer as well makes it sound extra dramatic. And the idea that, you know, she should have some extra sympathy because it might be her last game at the Australian Open. I don't know. It's a mad one. As I say, we'll be talking to Luke about that story as well. But loads more happening today as well. Down in Australia.
Yeah, so Iga Swiatek, Amanda Anisimova and Elena Rybakina all progressed to the third round today. Defending men's champion Jannik Sinner and fourth seed Novak Djokovic won their second round ties in straight sets, while wildcard Stan Wawrinka became the oldest player to ever reach a third round of the Grand Slam. The 2014 champion came through a five-setter against Francis Arteaga, 40 years old. Stan Wawrinka in what will probably be his final Australian Open. So go on, Stan.
Amazing. He's on the same side of the draw now as is he on the same side of the draw maybe as Sinner? Or I think that's probably a good few rounds away at this point. He's going to have to keep on this run to do something miraculous. We did have a bit of Irish interest.
Yeah, unfortunately Mayo's Owen Jennings missed out on the chance to be the first Irish player to compete at the Junior Australian Open in 9 years. He lost out in his final qualifying match to Odysseus Galadaris of Greece, 6-3, 3-6, 6-1 in Melbourne earlier today.
0879 180 180 is our WhatsApp number. Patrick says, Casemiro has been United's worst signing since Fergie left. They got no value for money considering the wages he's getting. A fair statement?
There's a lot of competition.
Huge amount of competition.
But, you know, so it's a game of opinions who the worst signing is. But again, I do think it is interesting. Like, it is, you know, Manchester United are a very good case study in that sense of, you know, Casemiro being a great example. And, you know, the mood is set by this arrival of a player and nothing ever comes close to touching the scenes of excitement. When they arrive, you know, it's like if you go back years, Michael Owen signing for Newcastle, that great, you know, flown in on helicopter and everyone is there. And this is the excitement and the reality never comes close to that. And Manchester United have so many examples from recent times, that, again, show why, you know, that old saying about you can always recover from the players you don't sign. You don't also always recover from the players you do sign. And they've been a kind of great example of that.
How much of Casemiro's time at United was spent suspended? That's kind of what I want to know, because there were quite a couple of red cards there.
Yeah.
So maybe that puts him in a league of his own.
I always would have had Antony as the worst signing, but I'm open to correction on this. The figures, if somebody wants to make a counter case to Antony, I'm all ears. Larry, meanwhile, on Ferguson says, how many times has he not been flavour of the week with Gasperini? Then the following weekend scores, gets an assist and gets man of the match. He will be grand. He'll score another 7 or 8. Rumour mill has it him and Dybala are good buddies. Well, that's good to hear on the Dybala thing. I guess why there's been a sense of worry from these quarters is that they've brought in Daniel Malin and they've brought in Robinho, the young forward from Marseille. But maybe you could argue that Robinho's a bit too raw to actually be making an impact on the team in the next 6 months, and Daniel Malin can play in a different position. Dovbyk is currently injured. So, you know what? I've changed my opinion in these last 25 minutes. Maybe Evan Ferguson will play.
Don't believe that sting yet there.
We do have a couple of equalisers in the Europa League. Bologna have equalised against Celtic, and Fenerbahce have gone to 1-1 against Aston Villa. What's next, Cameron?
Well, in the golf today, Shane Lowry has started well at the Dubai Desert Classic on the DP World Tour. He opened with a 2-under par round of 70 today at the Emirates Golf Club. Francesco Molinari, the man to catch, on 7-under par, while four-time winner Rory McIlroy laboured to a 1-over par round of 73. And Ireland have continued their winning start at the Women's T20 World Cup qualifiers in Nepal with a 16-run victory over the USA. Captain Gabby Lewis scored 42 runs as Ireland posted a total of 154 after electing to bat. Arlene Kelly took 4 wickets, and next up for Ireland is a clash with Bangladesh on Saturday morning. And we should congratulate the people of Kerry on Jesse Buckley's Oscar nomination.
Of course. Of course. I mean, the people of Kerry, thank you for including me in the congratulations here. Yeah. Cameron, great day for
great
the parish. Yeah, absolutely.
Do you have much to do with it yourself?
A good bit, yeah.
Yeah,
a good bit, you know, just keeping the general mood of positivity up between
that's
Oscar
important.
Nominations.
That is important.
Yeah. Hopefully
vibes.
Vibes, exactly. Hopefully she will finish what Michael Fassbender never could, bring an Oscar home.
Dig it, Fassbender.
I know, uncalled for. He's catching strays out here. Who would have thought it? I should actually say good news for Aston Villa fans that Fenerbahce goal has been ruled out. So Aston Villa are still 1-0 up after 84 minutes. Just on the T20 World Cup, is this like popcorn cricket to you? You're not going to pay any attention to this World Cup, or will Test not Dion Fanning get involved with T20?
It's not my favorite form of cricket, but it's very entertaining as to watch it, and because the games are happening so often, I have a very fond memory. My son was born during the T20 World Cup, and I just remember being able to just watching matches constantly while he was sleeping. So I always kind of think it's a very easy watch, and it's also because the games are so short. Actually, it randomizes them to a huge degree, so upsets are kind of quite likely.
Did you happen to name your son after a star of that particular T20 match?
No, I didn't.
Ookward, Lewart, Stern, Banning.
we had Kevin O'Brien on the show this week. He's involved in Italy with the T20 World Cup. He's an assistant coach going to this competition. Fascinating story.
Yeah, he's a great guy, Kevin. I saw him recently, and it's amazing that he's involved there.
Yeah, so he'd be kind of rooting for them as real, real outsiders. First time ever qualifying for the T20 World Cup, so you wish him well. So what is it, the 7th of February or 8th of February? It's coming pretty close anyway, the beginning of the men's.
Can I just say on Kevin O'Brien, someone was telling me a story recently about an Indian couple who were living in South Dublin near where he lives, and they were looking at this man walking around. And one of the husband said, "Is that Kevin O'Brien?" And they couldn't believe that the great Kevin O'Brien was just walking around the place, because in India, because of the 100 he got against England, that incredible 100, the fastest 100 in World Cup history, he's kind of a demigod.
Yeah.
And they were just like, "My God, here we are. We've just moved to Ireland, and there is the great Kevin O'Brien." So it's kind of one of those things, you forget like how huge players, people like that are in other parts of the world because of just the enormity of cricket.
Yeah, like reading a piece by Breffni Early and before talking to Kevin, he was talking about cycling through India and stopping off at a McDonald's, and they're like, "Oh, you're Irish, Kevin O'Brien." Like Bangalore 2011 took him to a whole new stratosphere. And as you say, we just have no appreciation of just how famous he is to a billion people. It's incredible. So that is our cricket chat done. That is Dion Fanning. You're done until the football show. We'll chat to you later on. Cameron Hill, thank you for that. And thank you for your congratulations to the County of Kerry on behalf of Jesse Buckley as well. Really appreciate it.
Off the Ball Daily.